Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper tonight, and I thought it appropriate to preach on this passage of Scripture, John, chapter 6. This is not where the Lord's Supper is instituted, but this is sort of where it's based from. The Lord's Supper, of course, started, the Lord instituted the night that he was betrayed. He was there in the upper room with the disciples that he broke bread and blessed it, and he gave the cup and blessed it as well and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." But in John chapter 6, the Lord really gives us a detail of what it's about, of what the Christian life is about. And so we're going to read from verse 22 through verse 69, and then we'll make comments about it going through and then make some points from there. So starting in verse 22 of John chapter 6. "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live, he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So let's go through the passage so that we can understand what's going on, because there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot of words. There's a lot of back and forth between Jesus and the Jews and Jesus and the disciples. And we want to make sense of it so we truly grasp what it is that Jesus is saying. So the preamble, what I didn't read of the beginning of chapter 6, 1 through verse 21, is the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus fed the 5,000 after teaching there on the hillside, and he has compassion on them, and he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds the 5,000. Well, 5,000 men plus women and children. So we don't know exactly how many were fed, but it was much more than 5,000. And after he feeds the 5,000, he says to the disciples, get into a boat and go over to the other side to Capernaum. And he sends them away, and then he goes back to the people. And the people, the men there, say, this is surely the prophet that was supposed to come. Remember back in Deuteronomy, Moses had said, there's going to be a prophet like unto me that the Lord is going to raise up from among you. Him you need to listen to. He's not like me. I'm speaking to you the words that God has said to me. He is going to speak to you as God. And you need to believe what he says, because his words are life. And if you don't believe him, then death is what you will receive. The individuals that were fed there at the feeding of the 5,000 recognized that he must be the prophet that Moses talked about. So let's make him king. And Jesus said, no, it's not the time for that. And so he dispersed them, and he went up into the mountain to pray. And he's up there praying, and he decides, okay, it's time to go. And he walks on the water across the Sea of Galilee to the disciples in the boat. And they're certainly afraid, but Jesus comes and speaks to them and speaks peace to them, and he gets into the boat and they arrive at the other side. That's the preamble of what's before our passage now. So what happens? Well, Jesus and the disciples have made it to the other side, but recognize all the people saw Jesus put the disciples in the boat and send them over to Capernaum. They saw that and they said, well, Jesus didn't get in a boat. So where'd Jesus go? So they're looking all over in the morning for Jesus and can't find him. And they said, well, he must have gone over to the other side some other way. They don't know that he walked on the water. And so they all get in boats and they go over to Capernaum. And Capernaum and Nazareth are right next to each other. This is the area that Jesus grew up in. And so they go over and they find out that there he is. He's in the synagogue and he's teaching in the synagogue. And they're like, well, Jesus, how did you get here? We're confused. We don't understand how it is that we didn't see any other boats leave besides the one you sent and a few others, but you didn't get in them. How did you get here? And Jesus, as is his custom, doesn't answer their question the way they expect to be answered. He says to them that's not the thing you need to be concerned about. They're looking for him, and he says, you're only looking for me, not because of the miracles, not because you believe, but because you ate and you were filled. Basically, what he's saying is you're looking for some more free food. That's what you're doing. You've just come to see if I can fill you again today, and you don't have to pay for it. That's what you're looking for. And that's not the thing that they were expecting. And he says, look, you need to look for something that's not food. Don't look for the meat of this world. Don't look for the food of this world that you're just going to fill you now and tomorrow you're going to need to be filled again. He says, look for the food that is eternal. Look for the thing that's going to give you everlasting life. And I'm the only one who can give you that. I'm the only one who can give you that food. I'm the only one who can provide that to you. And so they're shocked by this. He says, Jesus says, this is what I've been received from my Father in heaven. And they say, well, what do we have to do the works of God? They don't say, well, how do we get this food? Again, you can see that they're still not believing. They're not trusting Christ. They're just having this debate with him, trying to find out information. And they say, well, what do we have to do? What do we need to do the works of God? You see, they've got it all backwards, don't they? They think that they can do something to be pleasing in God's sight. And Jesus says, you don't understand. You don't understand what it is. He says, the work of God is to believe on him that he has sent. He said, that's the work. The work isn't to go and do some good deed. The work isn't to go and feed the those that are hungry, to help the widow and the orphan. No. The good deed is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Any of those other things follow after belief. They don't come before it. The good deed is believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer, because that's who God sent. That's who the one that has been sent is. And so they say, well, if this is the case, if you're the one that's come from the Father, then what sign do you show us? What thing are you going to do for us to make us believe that you're exactly who you say you are? Now, you can kind of get a clue that this is completely false from their perspective. Why? Because the day before, Jesus had taken 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. Or more than 5,000 people. He had done a great sign and wonder the very day before. That's why they had sought him out that day, was to have him do it again, so they didn't have to pay for food again. They had already seen the miracle. They had already seen the wonder, but that wasn't enough for them. They didn't figure that was suitable. And so they said, what are you going to do to show us? What are you going to do to show us that you're that great prophet? Because guess what? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And he gave them that bread to eat. And when they say he gave them that bread to eat, they're referring to Moses. That's who they say the prophet was that gave them the bread to eat. And Jesus says, now, truly, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. Moses isn't the one who gave it. Of course he's not. It came from heaven, and Moses wasn't in heaven, was he? He was on the earth. God gave them the manna, not Moses. But not just that, now my Father gives you the true bread of heaven. And he said, this is the true bread, the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, gives life to everyone that believes upon him. And they say, Lord, give us this bread. We want it. We want it now. And again, they're still thinking in that same fashion. They're still thinking of physical bread because they had eaten yesterday, the day before, and now they're thinking of manna and they're thinking it's a physical bread. And Jesus says, you have seen me, but you don't believe. I'm the bread of life, me personally. It's not bread I'm going to give you. It's actually me. I'm the one that can give life, and no one and nothing else. There is no other thing. He that believes on me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Now, again, he's not saying that literally, because guess what? After this service tonight, guess what? Each one of us is probably going to be, if you haven't had tea tonight, you're going to get hungry. You're going to want to eat. We're going to need to drink. I have a cup of water over here because I get thirsty in the middle of preaching. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is a spiritual thirst, is a spiritual hunger. It's you're not going to have to thirst for peace with God. You're not going to have to be hungry for peace with God, because Jesus is the bread of life. He is going to give you that peace with God. That's what he's talking about. He says, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and I'm not going to cast any of them out. This is the Father's will that sent me, that I lose nothing of all that he's given to me. And that's his will. He sent me so that everyone that sees me and believes on me has everlasting life. Not will have everlasting life, but has it now. It's a current possession. As soon as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That doesn't mean you're not going to physically die. That means you're never going to spiritually die. That when you leave this body, you're with the Lord immediately. You will forever be with the Lord. He says later on that I'm with you and you're in me. It's together from that point forward, ever, always, everlasting life. As long as he lives, you live. And he's going to live forever, so you live forever. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what he's trying to get across to them. Well, they're not understanding it. They're not getting it. And he says, look, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, well, wait a second. How can you say you're the bread that came down from heaven if we know who your mom and dad is? We know Joseph and Mary. Well, they're just over in Nazareth. Or Joseph's probably dead at this point, but Mary's still over there. Well, we saw you growing up. We know exactly where you came from. You didn't come down from heaven. And of course, they're not recognizing, and they don't even understand the virgin birth. That it's not even in their minds that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth incarnate to die for sinners. They don't get it. They're not understanding. And so they're struggling with this. And he said, you can't say you came down from heaven if we know your parents. And Jesus tells them, stop murmuring among yourselves. And that word murmur, just to get it in our minds a little bit, that's the description that Jude gives of the Israelites. And it's the description when you go back to the Israelites in the wilderness, they were constantly murmuring. Even when they got the manna from heaven, they were still murmuring. They were still complaining because they're like, oh no, we got to keep eating this bread. We wish we had something other than this bread of heaven. We want something different. We want a little meat to go with it. And so he says, stop murmuring. Stop murmuring among yourselves. You can't understand this because the Father hasn't given it to you to understand this. And you're still going to go away because you don't want to understand this. You have no desire to see and know who it is that is speaking to you. You haven't seen the Father because you see me and you don't see the Father. But each one who sees me and believes upon me sees the Father. Everyone that believes in me believes the Father because he's the one that sent me. He is the bread of life. And he says it so many times, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and what happened? They died. They're dead. That's what happened. And if you're bragging about those who were of that generation, well, they didn't just die physically, they died spiritually. They didn't believe God. That's why they were in the wilderness to begin with. They're dead. But this is the bread of heaven. It's meaning himself. And he that believes on me, he eats thereof and he will not die. He says, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. And then here's where it comes to the point where even some that were claiming to believe on him will end up turning away. He says, the bread that I will give is my flesh. It's my flesh which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews, they really struggled with this. They really struggled with this. He says, how can a man give us his flesh to eat? And rightfully so. We're not cannibals, are we? And none of us are cannibals. Well, the reason that the Caribbean Sea is called the Caribbean Sea is because they were cannibals. The Caribs were cannibals. That's what they did. That's how they survived. We're not that way. But that was actually the claim in the 1st and 2nd century AD for Christians, against Christians. They said, oh, they're cannibals. Every time they come to their Lord's table, they're eating someone's flesh and blood. Because they didn't understand that we're not eating the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what he's talking about. He says, everyone has to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's what he says in verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day and say, wow, that is a hard saying. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to come to grips with. He says, my flesh is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. And whoever does eat my flesh and drink my blood abides in me and I in him. And you think, what does this mean? And in reality, he says it this way just like all the parables that he has. Because people that don't believe are going to be turned away by it. They're going to be offended by it. They're going to go away because of it. But the people that believe, those that trust, they're going to say, Lord, what do you mean? I want to understand. I want to understand what it is you're saying. And so that's exactly what happens. He says, the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, and therefore everyone who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will live by me. That's where you're going to have life, is by me, not by anything else. Not by membership in a church, not by baptism, not by good deeds, not by anything but the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Him alone. And it says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And even his disciples, there in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And Jesus, it says, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured against him. That's a shock, isn't it? His disciples were murmuring against him. And he says unto them, does this offend you? What when you see me ascend back up to heaven where I came from, is that going to offend you? What is it that you're believing? He says, the Spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. You say, well, wait a second. He just said that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have everlasting life. Now he's saying the Spirit quickeneth. Quickeneth means makes alive. He says the Spirit makes alive, the flesh profiteth nothing. Well, how? Wait, he just said his flesh was everything. And now he said his flesh is nothing? What does he mean? He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's talking spiritually. He's not talking literally. He didn't ask anyone to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Why? Because it's impossible. Why? Number one, because we're not cannibals. Number two, because he was put in the grave after his crucifixion and on the third day rose again. There's no way to eat his flesh. It's impossible. He's alive. He's not dead. There's no way to partake of his body in that way. There's no way to partake of his blood in that way, because right now, in heaven, Jesus is sitting there on the throne in his flesh, his glorified body, and his blood is coursing through his veins. That's where he is. So it's impossible for us then to take part of his body in that way, in a physical manner. It's a spiritual manner. What he's saying to you, what he's saying to me, what he was saying to his disciples is, you have to come to me in faith, believing that I am the Son of God and that I have come to die for you and for your sin. And when you do, you are partaking of my death. You're, by faith, you are dying with me. By faith, you are being raised with me to new life. That's what's happening. It's all by faith. It's not by the physical flesh. It's by faith. And when you believe that, then you have actually eaten of his flesh and drank of his blood. Spiritually, not physically. You're now part of Christ, and Christ is part of you. You're a co-heir with him because of it. All of these things are bringing it together to say that you are now a child of God. Why? Because the blood of the Son of God is coursing through your veins, spiritually speaking. Because you have taken part of him by faith. That's what he's about. That's what he's telling us. And he says to the disciples, he says that some of you still don't believe. And what happens? From that time, many of his disciples went back. They couldn't figure it out in their minds. They said, it's impossible for me to eat his flesh. If he dies, I'm not going to go there and have a banquet. That's not what I'm going to do. Because they didn't understand that it's by faith. It's all by faith. It's all by belief. It's all by trust, not by the works of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh of Christ, his death and resurrection, is how we have life. If he didn't physically die, we wouldn't have life. If he didn't physically rise from the dead, we wouldn't have life. But we take part of that through faith, through belief, through trust that he did that for me. That he sacrificed himself on my behalf. That he stood in my place before God. So that I could stand in his place before God. So that God sees me as righteous even though I'm a sinner. Because he saw Christ as a sinner even though he was righteous. That's through faith. That's what he's talking about. And so when some of the 70, you know, all of those ancillary disciples, the great multitude of disciples that kept following him everywhere, when they leave, he turns to the 12 and he says, are you going to leave too? And they said, Peter says, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. We believe that you, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe it. And so even though we may not quite understand everything you say right now, we believe it. And we trust you. And we're going to continue to trust you. And we're going to follow after you. And that's exactly what it's all about. Later on in the book of John, he says to Peter and he says to the disciples, I'm going to send you the Spirit. And he's going to lead you into all truth. All these things that you don't understand yet, he's going to help you. He's going to bring them to your remembrance. He's going to help you to understand those things. And so what do we have to understand? We have to understand the same things that Peter and James and John and the other disciples, the other 12, had to understand. Jesus does not ask us to be cannibals. He does not ask us to physically partake of his flesh and physically partake of his blood. He asks us to do it by faith. To trust him, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. He doesn't want us to, because flesh profiteth nothing in that sense. There is no profit there. And even at this time, in John chapter 6, he's not referring to the Lord's Supper. He's going to institute that at the Last Supper. That's when he institutes the Lord's Supper. He's not referring to that here, but that's where this is based upon, from John chapter 6. That's where the commemoration comes in. It's from that very thing. And so he's talking about faith. He that believeth shall have eternal life. That's what it's all about. Do you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Each one that comes to Jesus in faith, believing that he is the Son of God, come to save sinners. Each one that comes to Jesus seeking forgiveness through his blood, him alone. Each one that bows the knee, they have eternal life. It's Christ and Christ alone. There's nothing else. There's no other thing. And that's what he's getting across to the Jews and to his disciples. And for most of them, they said, I can't handle that. I got to go. There's no way I can take that. And so they went away. And they went to the broad road. And they went to destruction. Because they couldn't come to grips with what Jesus was saying. But those that by faith partake in the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by faith take part in his flesh and his blood, they are raised to new life with him. That's how you're metaphorically eating and drinking the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's faith, not works. You know, when you think about it this way, we could put on this for everybody in the hotel, and it doesn't matter. What? In one sense, it doesn't make a difference because there's no belief behind it. What difference does it make? If it's the action, well, then give it to everybody. Make sure everybody eats and drinks. That's not what he's talking about. It's about faith. It's about trust. The Lord's table is a commemoration. It's a memorial of what he did, of what he instituted, of his death and his burial and his resurrection. It contains elements that are not spirit and are not life. They are symbols of that very thing. The juice of the vine that we drink, that's not the blood of Christ. It will never be the blood of Christ. It's a symbol of the blood of Christ. We're remembering his death. We don't take part in it physically. We take part in it by faith. When we eat the bread, it's commemorating his death. It's a memorial. It's showing that we believe what he said about himself. That's what's taking place. Salvation doesn't lie in the Lord's table. It never has. It never will. Salvation lies in Christ alone. Taking part in him by faith. These are wonderful symbols, and they should be to every believer. But they are symbols of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief is just as bad today as it was for those in Israel during the days of manna. Unbelief in the days of manna, you die in your sins, regardless of whether or not you ate the manna. So Korah, you can think about Korah, you can think about those in his rebellion, you can think about all of those along the way that died because they wouldn't enter into the land. They all ate of the manna. And guess what? They all died in their sins. Taking part of the manna didn't guarantee you eternal life. It was just a physical life that was sustaining. Unbelief in the days of the Lord's table or communion doesn't, the Lord's table doesn't save you. Communion doesn't save you. The Lord Jesus Christ saves you. Belief in Him saves you. This is a commemoration. If you don't believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, you're still going to die in your sins, even if you take part of this. That's the truth of the matter. It's Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. And He is the answer only. If you follow what I mean. He's the only answer, but He is it. There's nothing outside of Him. Anytime we add something on to Christ, you don't have Christ anymore. Because you're thinking Christ isn't enough. And He is very clearly telling us in this passage, He is it. He's it. There's nothing else. No other action. Because the works of the flesh are never going to bring the everlasting life. It's only belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He is the true eating of the bread of life. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, who has the words of life? Who has them? Well, the answer is the same as it was for Peter. It's Jesus Christ. That's who we go to. That's who we go to by faith. There is no one else to go to, is there? And so we point you to Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.